At the Easter Vigil, when the great song of praise called the Exultet is sung near to the Paschal candle, we hear some very beautiful words and some very deep theological concepts that remind us of what God has done for us. And we hear these intriguing and beautiful words. O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam, which gained for us so great a Redeemer. Why do we say a happy fault, a necessary sin? Well, reflecting on these words can help us understand a little more deeply what Christ has done for us by his death and resurrection. So let's go back to the beginning. When the human being was first created, he was in a state of original justice. There was a relationship of trust and friendship between God and humanity. Adam and Eve's body and soul were so united in accordance with God's will. This inherent disposition in the human soul, in their human souls, to do God's will, had the effect of preserving the body from death and corruption. As an aside, that was and is the state of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was born free from original sin. Now, the first sin of humanity was a betrayal of this trusting friendship with God, a betrayal, not just a stumbling or an accident. It was a deliberate act. You see, the temptation of the serpent, the devil, was to arouse in the human person, Eve and then Adam, the desire to possess the wisdom and knowledge of God. The desire to possess what God had, so that the man and the woman might become equal to God and no longer subject to his will. This was a great rebellion. Equal in many respects to the great rebellion of a third of the angels, which brought about Satan and the fallen angels, the demons. This great human rebellion disrupted the perfect order and harmony of creation. That order and harmony was lost, and as a result, mankind became subject to death and able to keep on sinning. Now, that state that we know from our existence now of suffering and sin and ultimately death, it was what we deserved. But God did not abandon us in this sorry state. Out of mercy and love, God did not give up on us. He sent his only Son into the world so that death could be conquered and mankind's original friendship with God could be restored. In St. John's Gospel that we heard on Good Friday, the high priest Caiaphas said that it is better for one man to die for the people rather than the whole nation should perish. That reasoning that Caiaphas uses is rather like some modern philosophers who are very utilitarian. But Jesus did not accept his own death for that reason. He didn't want to preserve the status quo of the nation of Israel. But he freely accepted his death because he wanted God's reigning presence to break forth again into the world and to be in the world. In Christ's death and resurrection, we see that God's justice is real. He vindicates the innocent. He is full of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. He loves us more than we can know. With Christ conquering death, though, it is not simply a matter of things being restored to how they were before the fall, the original sin. Much more has happened. God has freely given to humanity that which humanity originally tried to take by force. Because God became truly like us and died and rose again for us, we now have the opportunity of becoming truly like him. Not just to be in friendship with God, but yes, to be in friendship with him, but actually also to possess the divine nature. We, of course, do not become divine, we remain human, but we become adopted sons and daughters. Not just friends, but sons and daughters. And we have a home with God forever in that heavenly home that Christ has prepared for us. In other words, by Christ's death and resurrection, we gained more than we lost through the sin of Adam and Eve. That is why we give God all our praise and thanksgiving at this time of the resurrection, because God did not treat us as we deserved, and nor did he return us to the original justice of Eden. But God prepared us for heaven, a never-ending life of unimaginable blessedness. So we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.